Hey there, Fletch from All Things Overlanding here, and today I wanted to talk a little bit about overlanding being over the top. So we've all seen it, right? And I'm talking about both ways here. And when I say both ways, I mean the people that have big, huge, overbuilt rigs that are talking crap to the people that just take a $50 Coleman tent and go out in the woods and camp. And then also the people with $50 Coleman tents talking to the people with the overbuilt rigs saying, man, those things are so crazy, you're never going to use that. You know, no one knows each other's situations and everyone's budget is different. So again, today I wanted to talk a little bit about over-the-top overlanding and kind of where it's going. Talk a little bit about some helpful points that will hopefully bring some people back down to reality, back down to earth, so that we'd stop kind of crapping all over each other, right? If you're not familiar, down in the link in the description below is a group of mine that I run called Newbie Overlanders, where we really try to help each other out and not just tell people you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And so that's kind of where this is coming from, right? I've seen a lot of groups, I've seen a lot of posts that are about, you know, you can't do this, that's not really overlanding, this is just car camping. And again, I wanted to touch on that a little bit today in what is over the top and what's not. So if you want to hear more about that, and I'd love to hear from you guys too, if you're on YouTube, post up in the comments down below. If you're listening on the podcast, hop over to my other social channels linked in the description down below and join the conversation. Let's talk about it. Or join that Newbie Overlanders group on Facebook if you're there. So again, let's get into over the top overlanding. What does that really mean and why does it even matter?
Sandstorm, I fought it.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
So guys, today I'm talking about overlanding being over the top. And what I mean by that is it comes from everybody. It comes from all different budgets. It comes from all different walks of life. It's just in all the social media groups and all the forums and on all the comments of YouTube videos from other overlanding creators. People have kind of gotten out of control, right? So again, today I wanted to talk a little bit about a few topics related to that and kind of my opinions on it, right? These are my opinions. This is my YouTube channel. So if you are on YouTube, again, pop down into the comments, leave your thoughts below. Tell me whether you agree or disagree. If I missed something, I'd love to hear from you guys. Again, if you're on the podcast, down in the description below will be links to all my other social channels. And I'd love to have you guys over there as well, talking about this kind of stuff with me, because I'm trying to keep this real for all of us, right? I feel like a lot of overlanding YouTube creators or overlanding podcasters, people get these big budgets, they get these big heads, they get to a point where they start to make money off YouTube, you know, myself included, where I want all the big things. I want the fancy trailers, I want, you know, all the gear. And then those vehicle builds just become completely impossible for most of us, right? So I constantly try and reground myself in the thought that I am a 40-some-year-old dad of two boys and that I live in Indiana, which is not exactly the mecca of overlanding. And so I try and think about my build and real world uses for the things that are in my truck and whether it actually makes sense for the type of trips that I take. And I've done a lot of content about that. So again, if this is your first podcast that you're listening to or your first video that you're watching of mine on YouTube, welcome, first of all. But second of all, definitely subscribe on YouTube and the podcast, you know, add it to your favorites over on the podcast, because there's a ton of information. This is the sixth year that I've been doing this. So now at this point, while I'm no expert, I have a lot of experience learning and messing up and then learning from those mistakes, right? So I've talked about some of this stuff before, but this is an all new topic because it just keeps getting worse and worse. So I'm going to break this podcast, this episode, up into three different sections. Let me lay those out for you here so you know what you're getting into before you get too far into the episode. So the first part is going to be about setting realistic goals. Regardless of your budget, you need to set realistic, real-world goals based on what you want to do, what type of trips you want to take, that sort of thing. So we'll talk about that again from both sides and why it doesn't matter and whether you think it's too much or you think it's too little, but you know what's important to you, and giving you some real-world tips on that and how to pick the right thing for yourself. Secondly, regardless of your budget, again, if you want something and it's just too expensive, or sometimes there are people that have big budgets and they want a thing, but they're like, that's a ridiculous price to pay for that. There's a lot of DIY modifications and or things that you can do to build up your rig or build up your gear set so that you can get to the places you want to go without having to pay that overland tax. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that and touch on some of my thoughts and some of the things that I've seen and or done to save on that stuff over the years. And then third, again, regardless of big, huge overlanding rig for, you know, full-time travel or, you know, weekend warrior type build, talking a little bit about avoiding being overbuilt, whether that's from a weight standpoint or too much gear standpoint, et cetera, et cetera. And then we'll kind of wrap this thing up with my kind of final thoughts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so let's start with setting realistic goals and a realistic budget for yourself. Now, again, I want to also tie all of these topics into the overarching thought of, let's say that you are one of two people. I'm going to go to the ends of the spectrums here. So you are, you know, a retired gentleman or lady in your 60s that has tons of money. Maybe you just sold your house. Maybe your kids moved out and you sold your house for $500,000 or $1 million or whatever, some large amount of money. And you want to travel the road full time. You want to go overlanding. You want to have some sort of a vehicle, maybe with a trailer, maybe without, doesn't really matter. You have now a portable house is what you're looking to get. All the way down to, you know, someone like me that's like, hey, whenever I can get out and run to my local national forest or my local state park or whatever and go camping for a weekend, I'm going to do that thing and I want to have as much of my gear in my vehicle as I can. Again, you have to set realistic vehicle budget ideas, right? Realistic budgets, realistic build ideas. So again, if you are on a forum, let's say, or a Facebook group and you have an earth roamer, you can't come in there. You shouldn't come in there, in my opinion, and poop all over the people that are getting out there with hammocks and tents, right? The big thing and the overarching thing of this whole episode is going to be, we all kind of get set in this mindset where we're like, look, rooftop tent life is the only life, right? I've become accustomed to a rooftop tent. I'm mid-40s, so I've got a little bit of time yet. But when I'm in my 60s, I may not want to climb up a ladder. I may have to go to the bathroom more in the middle of the night, right? So saying that the rooftop tent is the only way to go, saying that ground tents are dumb or vice versa, there's a lot of folks from the lower budget side coming in too and saying, you don't need a rooftop tent. Why would you ever pay five times as much for that as a gazelle? It just doesn't make sense. Everyone's budgets are different. Everyone's needs are different. Everyone's desires for sleep are different. Some people prefer a cot. Some people prefer a hammock. It doesn't matter. Think about your own situation. Forget about what you see on YouTube. Forget about what people say in the comments on Facebook. Do not worry about what those people say. Think about your budget. Think about your desires. Think about where you're going to go camping and or overlanding. Think about how often you're going to get out. Think about those things and stop worrying about what everybody else says or thinks about your setup or the right setup. Okay. It's become a social media problem where everybody doesn't want to listen to what anyone else is saying. They just want to come on there and, you know, spout their opinions, which they believe to be fact. So again, don't get discouraged. I talk a lot to newer folks getting into overlanding. And I know that for a lot of you folks, if you're listening and you've been listening to me for a while, you're like, I know, I want you to get into more advanced stuff. I hear that a lot. And I worry about that and I stay away from it for a reason. And the reason is that the newer folks don't have this anymore, right? A lot of creators like myself hit a point where they start to get sponsored, they start to get big budget items, and they forget all about actual people that actually want to do this thing with their own money, right? It's really easy to get sucked into that world and to be given a bunch of free stuff and then to be like, well, I want the biggest, baddest, most expensive fridge, and I'm going to tell everybody why it's the best and why they shouldn't buy that Alpacool or that Iceco or that Bodega fridge, right? Like, there's a ton of lower priced options out there on the market that work just fine for most of us, especially if we go in frequently, that you can spend a fraction of the price on versus a bigger, badder name brand, right? So I'm trying to keep it real here. I'm trying to stay down to earth, but most importantly, again, let's all be nice to each other. Let's be respectful. Let's ask questions. Instead of saying the rooftop tent isn't the right choice for you because, let's say something like, hey, you know, why do you want a rooftop tent? If it's just because you saw somebody on Facebook that had it or someone on YouTube that had it, that's not a good enough reason. Really break down that price and think about how often you're going to go. If you're going to go four times a year and you spend, even by a nature nest like I have, for $1,600, that's $400 a night for the first year. If that tent lasts for 3 to 5 years, it's still a pretty good deal. That's kind of my contention with rooftop tents. Everybody complains about it a lot. In the last year, I've probably been 60, 65 nights out of the last year sleeping in my Nature Nest tent. So at that price, that's a steal of a deal, right? It's way cheaper than a hotel room. It's probably even cheaper than a state park, just paying state park camping fees and things like that. But again, think about that budget. Think about how often you're going to go out and stop worrying about what everybody else thinks. Just buy what you think makes the most sense for your trips and your location. All right, so next, DIY stuff, right? There is a ton of content on my YouTube channel about DIY stuff. I'm a huge DIY guy because historically, I didn't come from money. My parents were like school employees. They worked at the schools that I went to. So we've never had a ton of money in my life. So I've always looked at things and been like, you know what? I really like that thing, but I can't spend $800 on it. How can I make something really similar or close to that that will do the same function for less? A good example of this, and I'll put a card if you're on YouTube up here in the corner, is I built a Unistrut roof rack for my Xterra, which was my first overlanding vehicle that I ever owned, first vehicle I bought for overlanding. And you know, roof racks were, they're talking about basically like pulling up riv nuts out of the roof and potentially risking leaks. And you got to take the whole thing off and then you got to install. So the install was kind of problematic for me. The cost of them was prohibitive. I think they were like $1,200 to $1,500 for a roof rack for Xterra. That's probably about the price for like a 4Runner, things like that. So for about $100, I bought some Unistrut, bolted this stuff together, used some U-bolts, and I attached it to my stock roof. Was it a little tall? Yeah. Was it a little clunky looking? Sure. It was galvanized, so it didn't really rust or anything like that. I spray painted it black to give it an extra sheet of protection, right? But it solved a couple problems for me. It let me install an awning. It let me install a rooftop tent. I didn't have to pull up the riv nuts from the roof and risk leaking. I didn't have any of those problems that typically come with that kind of stuff. It saved me a bunch of money. And it got me out and camping, right? I learned a lot from that first break. Would I do it again that way now? Maybe, maybe not, right? But again, don't let that sort of stuff stand in your way. If there are things that you want gear-wise, if there are vehicle modifications that you want, you know, people, I'll give you another good example from the Nissan world, but I'm sure it applies in all different makes and models. And that is inexpensive lifts, right? You always want to be careful. You don't want to buy things that are unsafe. You don't want to buy like just Chinese made, you know, junk off Amazon or anything like that, because a lot of that stuff is dangerous in a way, right? But like rough country lifts, everybody gives them a hard time. My first lift on my Xterra was a rough country spacer lift. It's a spacer puck of aluminum in the front, and it's an add-a-leaf in the rear, I think, or a longer shackle. It's a longer shackle in the rear. It was $150. Everything else I was looking at was between $1,500 and $3,000, and you're talking full shock replacement, spring replacement up front, leaf replacement in the back. Those are good things. Those are good products, right? And if you have the budget for it, absolutely do that. But also, there's nothing wrong with doing a spacer lift to fit bigger tires so you can go to more places. You're going to have things like coil bucket contact where, you know, the upper control arm is going to hit the top of that coil bucket in an IFS vehicle, an independent front suspension vehicle like an Xterra. So there are problems that come with it, right? But it let me do the job for a couple of years until I could afford or found used options to buy like a used set of coilovers with 15,000 miles on them for half what they would have cost me new from NISTEC. So again, there are options out there, and you don't have to just read into, you're going to post on a Facebook page and you're going to say like, hey, should I get this rough country lift? And the answer is going to be almost unequivocally, no. And there's a reason for that. It's legitimate, right? That stuff isn't great quality and it doesn't solve a lot of problems. So it is definitely a temporary band-aid, right? But again, if you're mostly just hitting forest service roads, if you're not flexing that thing out all the time, if you just want to fit bigger tires because you like how they look, why spend all that money to get a super fancy expensive suspension system that you're not ever going to take off-road? Right? So again, there are do-it-yourself ways, there are budget ways to get the kind of gear that you want to allow you to take the kind of trips that you want, but look at it, set realistic goals for yourself, and then try and find ways to save money by doing do-it-yourself stuff or finding budget price stuff. I get a lot of questions too, and this will be the final piece of this sort of DIY budget section, about where did you get this or where did you get that or how did you afford that? One of the biggest things that I did when I had my Xterra, and I was super, super, I mean, this was, you know, 6 years ago. I was super on a budget. It was like kind of like a funny thing that I was just trying to do. I'd never really done it before, is looking for used stuff on Facebook Marketplace or on eBay or something like that. I found a ton of stuff. I got basically my full suspension. I found a kid in the nearby Ohio, it was like 2 hours away from me, who had bought an entire General Springs heavy duty leaf pack for the rear of an Xterra, and then he sold his Xterra. It was literally still had the tape on it and the shipping information and everything. He never even installed these things. And I got them for about half price from this kid. He got some stuff out of his garage. I got something for a great deal. And then I upgraded my suspension, right? So unless it's a mechanical failure type thing, if it's something that you can wait on, keep your eyes open and watch those places because there are a ton of deals that pop up. Same with forums and things like that. So again, regardless of what maker model you've got, watch your local forums, watch your places where people sell stuff and look for deals and know what you're looking for so you can jump on them when they pop up. All right, so third, let's talk about avoiding being overbuilt. And again, this is regardless of budget, right? You could have I will say it with full transparency here that from a weight standpoint, my current truck is overbuilt. I've probably got 900 to 1100 pounds worth of weight in the back of my truck, and my payload is about 1,000, 1,050 pounds. So I'm right there. I'm really close, if not over, on my payload. So you want to avoid that because it's going to reduce your gas mileage. It's going to reduce the safety from a braking distance standpoint because it's going to take longer to get stopped. So I'm working to remedy that. I've got parabolic leaf springs for the rear from All Dogs Off-Road that should help with that. I just have to get around to installing them. Plus all my stuff's new, so like it hasn't been a huge concern. But think about that stuff. Think about how much stuff's going to weigh. Think about how much room it's going to take up. Overbuilt could mean, you know, that you've got just too much gear. Maybe you've got a shower, you've got a diesel heater, you've got a water tank, you've got a water purifier, you've got, you know what I mean? And again, if you need that stuff, there's nothing wrong with it. This is not a let's crap on the rich or let's crap on the poor, right? That is what I'm trying to avoid with this whole thing is say we all need to stop arguing with each other about what's right or the only way for people to do things, right? But we do need to avoid overbuilding our rigs from a weight standpoint, from a, you know, wasteful standpoint, which is my biggest thing. I am more guilty of having a bunch of gear in my rig that I think I'm going to use. And then after, you know, a season of going camping, I get back and I go, huh, I never used that. I never used that bug zapper thing that I have for the summer, or I never use my awning, or, you know, whatever. Think through the gear. Think through the type of trips you want to take. Think through your priorities too, right? And I've done several episodes on prioritizing like your needs for overlanding. So go back and look at all the old podcast episodes or the old YouTube episodes and you'll find that. But like there are a ton of priorities that we need to think about when we are talking about building our rig so we don't get overbuilt. All right, so to kind of wrap this up, again, if you're new to this, I try and keep these about 15 to 20 minutes so that you can listen to them on a commute or something. A lot of these podcasts are an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours long, just really, really long. I want to get it as informational, as helpful as possible for you guys. So again, if you're listening on the podcast and you appreciate that, hit the favorite button, hit the like button, leave a review. Let me know your feelings, your comments, whatever channel you're listening on. If you're on YouTube, drop a like, hit that subscribe button, click the bell to be notified when new videos drop because I do a couple every week. But to wrap this thing up, the conclusion here is that we all are trying to share a passion, right? That's what overlanding is about. It's not about being right. It's not about convincing, you know, the folks with a lower budget or with less needs that can only go a few times a year that they need to spend a bunch of money on pricey gear. It's not about the people with the pricey stuff, the really nice stuff, crapping all over them and saying that they suck and that they don't need that stuff. And I bet it's never left the pavement, right? There's just no reason for that. Can't we just all be better to each other, right? We all share this passion for overlanding, dispersed camping, exploring, getting out and seeing nature. That's what it's really about. That's what I love about in-person meetups. When you go somewhere and you spend time, and I typically want to be solo or with a very small group, but sometimes I will jump into like my local indie overlanders, you know, things, and there's 30, 40 people there. But you can go there and see a 1996 Tacoma that's all built out and crazy and cool. And you can see a bunch of new 4Runners that are on, you know, 35s, 33s, and they all look super cool. And they've got all the bumpers and the fancy Morimoto headlights and all that stuff. And then you can see, you know, people like me with my old Xterra where I basically like built a thing out of Unistrut and like got a used tent and did all this stuff. And then you see people with ground tents. And again, it's not about, it shouldn't be, in my opinion, about judgment. That's the last thing it should be about. It's like car culture, right? Which I am a car guy through and through. I started in fast car stuff. I did autocross and that sort of thing. And then I moved into off-roading and overlanding. And it's another passion of mine. But they're very similar in that it's very easy to get toxic and to get negative about that stuff. And I just want you guys to know, one, that I will always be here for you as a creator that is going to try and make content that appeals to everybody, right? That doesn't exclude anyone. And two, that I'm budget-minded and I will always be budget-minded, even as my gear improves and stuff. And in some cases, I do think that it is worth spending a little extra money to get a nicer piece of gear that's going to last you longer or that's going to solve more problems than that cheaper piece of gear. I'm learning that lesson. But I'm also not ever going to get to the point where I'm like a professional overlander, you know, going through other countries and stuff like that, because that's just not my thing. I like that I have a normal life and that I get to do overlanding as much as possible. I love it and I want to do it. And I want to keep sharing with you guys and getting you guys into the hobby. So again, I hope that was helpful for you. If you're on YouTube, drop a comment, drop a like. If you're on the podcast, hit favorites, throw it in your favorites, leave a 5-star review if you can. If you feel good about that, that'd be great. If you're on YouTube, there is a new thing down below this video called Join, which is basically kind of like YouTube subscriptions, kind of like a Patreon type of thing. I'm just trying it out as a new thing, but it's mainly I've had people say, hey, I want to support, you know, the content that you make. I know it takes a ton of time to do that. How can I do that? And I didn't have a mechanism to do that. So the Join button is a good way to just passively do that, right? You do get early access to some of the videos and a couple other little perks, but the main thing is it's just a way to support the channel. So if you want to do that, click that Join button, but no pressure whatsoever. Totally up to you. Also in the description below, as I mentioned, are links to all my other social channels. So wherever you want to hang out, love to hang out with you, check those out. There's also a link to my website where I've got funny overlanding camping themed patches and stickers. So that's another way to support the channel if you want, but you also get something for it. You get a patch or a sticker. Check that out. And then last but not least, there is a link to Patreon, which is another option where we've got a 24/7 Discord. We do a couple trips a year. So that's a way to support the podcast too, if you want to be a little bit more hands-on. And then there's the newbie overlanders group, which I've mentioned a couple times in this podcast. Totally free to join. Tons of awesome members on Facebook. Different from the big groups because you're not going to get bullied for asking questions. People are nice there. It's awesome. So again, thanks so much for watching. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.